Ah, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday you won't get. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you so much. Unbelievable. It's touching. Touching as ever.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, something happened this week and I thought you'd like it. You would appreciate it. So we had one of our undefined meetings, which is lovely.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine, Pete, was relaying the story of meeting up with an old former church member from my old church, who's quite an ardent evangelical. And he was asking Pete, did he go to church anymore? He's saying, well, no, it's not. I don't really go to church anymore. He said, but I do go to this thing once a month that Joe Davis runs. And he went, oh, Joe, he's a lovely guy, but so messed up. I love that legacy that remains of me in the church. And I thought, actually, that's pretty good, isn't it? I think I'll take that. He's a lovely guy, but so messed up. Next time I'm asked to provide a biography,
yeah,
I thought I might use that as a nice soundbite.
I mean, for me, it's going on your tombstone.
I'll take it.
Here lies Joe Davis, a lovely guy, but so messed up.
So messed up. It's the word so that I particularly appreciate.
Welcome to... Oh, hang on. What? No, I'm completely blank then. I just blanked.
Did you? Well, it happens at your age.
Literally, I got two words in. I couldn't remember how I do it. Welcome, everybody, to episode 331 of the Mid-Faith Crisis podcast. My name is Nick Page, and there, so messed up, is Joe Davis.
Lovely guy, though.
Lovely guy.
Lovely guy.
So messed up. Really?
What a legacy I've left that church. Well, mate, happy birthday to you.
Thank you. And
it's very good of you to be podcasting on your birthday. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, I mean, to be honest, I've had so many that it's sort of blur, really. Don't really care about them anymore. Everybody says, what are you doing for your birthday? Are you doing anything nice? And I say, oh, I hope not.
You know, really. Good to see the tablets are working.
Just leave me alone. Oh, yes. So my brother
has
sent me, I'll start with this. My brother has sent me these wonderful tablets. These are anti-old Git capsules. And 20 capsules contains youthful zest extract, it says here. And I love the instructions on the back of the packet. It says, anti-old Git capsules prevents the onset of old Gitteritis. Dosage, take as needed to reduce the urge to be an old Git. Take extra care with dentures. Consume with or without prune juice or a nice cup of tea. take two after using the phrase, you don't know you're born or back in my day. Always read the small print or ask a young person to do it for you. Yeah, brilliant.
It's you.
It is.
And who was that from?
My brother, of course. And sister-in-law.
It's like he knows you. Anyway.
He's older than I am, so he needs a double dose.
Other than old Gitteritis, how are you?
I'm a little bit of a weird place at the moment for reasons I don't really want to go into, so I may not be my usual effervescent and positive thinking self, this podcast.
No, it's true.
So there's some issues there. I'm essentially, I've moved studio.
Yes.
And to get a better reception, so hopefully that'll work. And I'm essentially recording this in a cupboard.
Yes, I can see the bare wood beams that are probably 16th century or something. But yes.
Yeah, those are quite old. That's the old house behind me. Anyway, but I'm essentially in a little cupboard, but the sound should be quite good. It's quite dead in here. Yeah, very tired for reasons, again, I don't want to go into. Oh, and really suffering from unintended consequences. So here's the thing. You do something good and you think it's going to change everything and something else happens. So I cut down at the back of our house, beyond the sort of fence at the back, a huge amount of brambles in the cow field. So I cut them down to open up the view and it looks fantastic.
Nice.
Yeah. Really lovely. Hard work. Beautiful. Come down the next day to find the cows had eaten our gooseberry.
No, how?
So, the brambles had been keeping them away, you see, and suddenly this whole vista of food had opened up for them. So they just wander up to the back and eat the gooseberry bush.
Who knew they liked gooseberries though? I mean, those are spiky plants as well.
Well, this one's not very spiky. And anyway, the thing is, I'm out after that trying to put some of the brambles back to try and stop the cows coming up. The joys of country life.
The brambles have come back, don't you worry.
Yeah, no, they will. Now, I need to get a median, you know, I need to get a sort of medium length of brambles. I need to work out exactly what we want so that we can still see the view and the cows don't come up and knock over the brickwork. Anyway. So that's that. I'm okay apart from that, but how are you?
Yeah, good. I mean, I've just come fresh from a funeral. Someone who is a month younger than me. And it's one of those ones where he's got a wife and a boy and a girl. Mm. And then I was doing all right. And then they used a Let Somebody Go by Coldplay, which is one of my favourite songs ever. And I basically had it on repeat when my brother died. And got a teeny bit emotional, which I always think is a little bit unprofessional in a service. But there we go. It happens from time to time.
Hmm.
But other than that, I'm still buzzing from our lovely time away last week.
Yeah, and it was good, wasn't it?
And just a wonderful time of friendship and bird watching and, food and all that stuff. Good. Oh, I went to the Oasis reunion on Saturday that you didn't come to, obviously.
No. I did think about it, and I did actually look at getting a ticket, but it sold out by the time. Everybody's full, rather, by the time I got there. So, and anyway, it was full of people, wasn't it?
It was full of people, and, you know, I knew the names of many of them, but equally, it was one of those occasions where people you haven't seen for 30 years, you go, hello! And they go, hey, Joe! And what was funny is Rachel came with me. And people went, hi, Rachel, in like a really pally way. And it turns out, and this happened a few times, you know, we always have people around for dinner, like the whole time in our little flat. We just invite
people.
They went, yeah, we came to dinner with you. Like that would mean Rachel would remember their name.
I get this all the time. You know, if you do an author event and you meet people often from my Oasis days when and they were in frontline and I gave them one lecture or something.
Yeah.
You know, and they remember you, but you I can't remember my daughters, let alone anybody else from, you know, 50 years ago, whenever it was.
Right.
So,
I know, but it just shows hospitality is such an important thing, you know.
So obviously it meant a lot for them at the time.
It meant a lot to us. I just feel bad we didn't always necessarily remember the names, but it's a good thing to do.
But I think that's rather good, because I think that shows just how much hospitality you did. you can't remember everybody who crossed your threshold. And I think that's rather wonderful.
Well, it's lovely. I mean, what's interesting in our memories is the times we ate just alone with the family are harder to remember. Because we just always had people in the house.
I always
brought people home. Anyway, that's good. Wimbledon are in the playoffs. That's a good thing. And here's something I wanted to mention. This isn't really how are you. And this comes under, I don't know, other ancillary stuff. I watched Inside Our ADHD Minds. Speaking of lovely guy, but really messed up. And it was brilliant. So this is a one-off program with Chris Packham sort of hosting it. A couple of people with ADHD are sort of making films to explain to their families what it's like to be in their heads. And I found I related to much of it, of course, as well. Not all of it, but much of it. Mm. And it was just a fantastic, fantastic way of understanding how that particular thing affects people. It's just brilliant. Well worth a watch, in my opinion.
Mm, okay.
And the last thing I wanted to say, speaking of watching, and this is kind of football related, apologies for people who don't like football, but it's not about football, really. Ange Postecoglou, I don't know how to say his surname, it's complicated, but he's an Australian coach of Tottenham Hotspur.
Mm.
I saw his press conference before the Europa Cup final the other night. And I just, it reminded me of Dallas Willard, and it reminded me about the Kingdom of God. People were saying to him, look, you know, if you don't win, you're going to be fired. How do you feel about the future? And all that, you know, really trying to bring him down. As they have done pretty much all season. And he just reacted so calmly and wonderfully. He just said, hey, listen, job may change, but my future's assured. I've got a lovely wife. I've got two great kids. You know, I got friends around me. He says, my future's great, he said. Have you ever changed jobs? Jobs change, he goes. And it was just such a great thing. And it reminded me of Dallas talking about the kingdom of God, that you can have a supreme confidence about the future because you are in God and God is in you, and nothing can change that. Absolutely nothing that could happen to you could change that reality. And it's just a little reminder to me to live in the light of that.
Yeah, it's really nice.
I thought it was really nice. So thank you, Ange, for that. Because then he did go on to win, so maybe he won't change his job. But whatever happens, all is well.
Good.
Yeah, should we move on?
Yeah, we ought to move on. I need to issue a correction.
Okay.
Before we move on. I'm sorry to have to do this. Last week, I talked about two kinds of sort of change. And I talked about, I think I called it hypostasis and allostasis.
Okay.
And I'm afraid, of course, I was probably wrong. It's homeostasis is the one where you move from order to disorder back to order. Homeostasis, not hypostasis. And I can't apologise enough. I feel I should resign.
I was going to say, I hope the Right Honourable member of the podcast shall be tendering his resignation.
I have written to the Prime Minister and offered to resign over this basic Greek error. I shall be going away from here and reflecting on my own conduct going forward. Thank you. That's all I have to say at this time.
No, well, listen, you're in. I loved it the other day when the Prime Minister did what everyone is calling a U-turn on the winter fuel allowance for pensioners and absolutely got hammered for it. You can't trust this man. I'm just thinking,
yes.
This is nothing about my politics, by the way, but I just thought it was hilarious that here's someone who's listened, who's realised they've made a mistake, he's lost a lot of people, he said, yeah, and he's corrected it.
Yeah.
Instead of going, oh, well done, Keir, you listen to people. You know, it's like you're an absolute idiot. You don't know what you're doing. You've succumbed to pressure. You're just thinking, how as a leader can you ever get that right?
Yes. I mean, the whole concept of a U-turn being a sort of negative thing. Yeah. Well, if you're driving the wrong way up the motorway, you do a U-turn. Yeah. You know, or heading towards a cliff, do a U-turn. It's a good thing. Yeah, it's helpful.
U-turn is not a bad thing.
No.
Anyway,
yeah.
It just made me smile. So, yeah, as far as I'm concerned, you should remain in position. Yeah,
well, thank you. That's very gracious. I shall seek to be more accurate in future. Thank you.
Yes, for goodness sake. We come to expect higher standards from you.
To be fair, we were recording under slightly trying circumstances, and we had had a lot of entertainment the previous night. And
how was your head?
It was all right, actually. It was the day after coming home was a real problem. But anyway, enough of that. Okay. Have we got any feedback?
Oh, well, we have. Just some nice feedback. Anyway, thank you to everyone who writes in. Basically, not for emails to read out, but just to say thanks for something or another. And I am going to read this one out from Phil, who said, "Dear Joe and Nick, bless you. Just that, bless you. Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. And to make sure you've got the message, bless you. Grace and peace, Phil." And he said, "Just finished listening to episode 329. Bless you."
Oh, how lovely.
Yeah.
Thank you, Phil.
Yeah.
Now, bless off.
Yes, exactly. Well, he has, actually.
Yeah. He has completely blessed.
He has blessed him. Do you remember that? Bless off. We did say that before. We decided that was a new swear word for newer listeners.
It was a way of being Christian and telling people to go away and bless off. And I remember it was around COVID because somebody made me a face mask and embroidered bless off on it.
Still got it.
And I would walk around with bless off on. It was great. Yeah, we should redeem that again. Yeah.
And we've got a new listener. This is Alicia, who says, "Just wanted to say hello from 7,242 miles away from Worthing, UK. I'm a new member of the 17 and very much enjoy these podcasts on the other side of the world. I looked up the Romanesco broccoli and went down a Fibonacci sequence rabbit hole. Can you imagine can you imagine a fractal rabbit? Horrifying. Thanks for doing the work." That's from Alicia. Welcome, Alicia. And
Where is that, do you think? New Zealand? Australia?
I don't know. What would be 7,000? I can tell you that Cozumel's about 4,000 miles away, so it's a lot further on. So, yeah, it could be New Zealand.
Yeah, so let us know where exactly you are, Alicia. And yeah. If you could get your head out of the Fibonacci rabbit hole, that would be great.
And similarly, Liselotte from Denmark, who I think single-handedly took us to number 100 in the Christian podcast charts in Denmark. So
huge in Denmark, we are.
Thanks just for the podcast and for your article on the Nicene Creed, as indeed many others have.
So there was fun there.
Yeah.
I never thought I would write a fun article on the Nicene Creed, but there you are.
I never thought I would read an article on the Nicene Creed, but if I'm going to read one, it's going to be one written by you.
These councils are quite bizarre, really, when you actually read the conduct of them. They're quite fascinating, really. It's a different world. But anyway, yeah, thank you very much, Liselotte. Thank you.
Ian wrote in talking about writing his personal creed. You remember we were doing that a couple of weeks ago. He said,
I do.
The weird thing about the standard version of the creed, which I mumble along with in church each week, is that the time Jesus spent on planet Earth doesn't seem to be of any significance whatsoever. Much like one might think the Bible could have mentioned the dinosaurs, one might also think the creedsters could have noticed that Jesus was actually alive for a bit and doing and saying some important stuff in between that born, died, buried and ascended bit. Says, I think my creed will need to incorporate something of the walking and talking Jesus somehow. Good point, Ian.
I think that's a lovely point. I love the idea of the walking and talking Jesus because I think that's really important. I think the working, walking and talking Jesus is also important. You know, there is this gap that we forget where he was a builder. Yeah. You know, and I do think that's a really great point because so often you do listen to it, you think, why did Jesus have to wait until he was grown up before doing all the saving bit?
Yeah.
Because he could have done that early. If it's just about dying for our sins, that could have happened quite early, I'd have thought.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so clearly the actual intervening years must have had some level of importance.
Yeah.
They must have been meaningful in some way. They were leading, in fact, to a lot of his teaching. But you're right, Ian, it just gets sort of missed out.
Yeah.
In not just in the creeds, but I think in an awful lot of our teaching and our theology. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I would say they just focus too much on the divinity of Jesus and not enough on the humanity. But there we go. Which is the same thing, by the way. So shall we move on, less controversially, to Susanna?
Okay. Just trying to think. Hang on. I'm just going to take an anti-old Git tablet before I have to reply to you.
I'm sorry. Have I annoyed you?
No. It's fine. The tablet will take care of it. It's great. Carry on. It's actually a jelly bean. But really nice.
Susanna wrote in with some lovely thanks, which obviously you don't want to hear, and then started talking about our creeds and specifically yours. And she said, why, oh, why did he, meaning you, Nick Page, start with, we believe in God the Father, creator of all things, in Jesus Christ, his Son, our Saviour and teacher. Why does it still have to be gendered? Why not God the parent, Jesus Christ his offspring or kid perhaps? I've been trying my whole life to align with the Christian faith and have come a long way since my strict fundamentalist Pentecostal / evangelical days and have now very open beliefs about God and human spirituality. But the one thing I want to see before I die, I'm getting there. I'm 67 now, she says.
Oh, easy, yeah. Susanna.
Is complete non-gendered references to God. I mean, outside of the Bible narrative, of course. But the Nicene Creed, after all, we're talking about the Holy Trinity as a family, aren't we? Where's the feminine in all this? Where's the mother figure? Mm. And truly, I want to hear something like our parent who art in heaven when we say the Lord's Prayer. Is that too much to be aiming at? She says, sorry, I'm getting a bit carried away. Lots more I could say, but maybe this might be a conversation starter. Anyway, do keep up your wonderful work. I appreciate you guys. And that's from Susanna.
Hmm. Well, thank you very much. I mean, it's a fair point. Hmm. I think I would say the reason I started it like that is because it's my creed. And Father is important to me. I think, therefore, the problem probably with my version is not necessarily the gendered bit, although, you know, that clearly might be a problem to some people. The problem is probably I included the word we. I started with we. I felt it was a very personal document, and that makes me sound like I'm using the royal we.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's okay, but that's, to me, the Father is still a very important metaphor. And so that's why it's there. And also, I think certain historical resonance. I mean, I would say you do you. You know, what's your creed? And you do you. Yeah. But I take your point. Thanks for writing in.
Yeah. So, and that's a good point. I mean, I think Rachel would be right on board with Susanna's point here. And I call God she, just because I think for every person who refers to the divine feminine, there's a thousand who refer to God as masculine. Mm. But actually, I don't personally find it helpful to gender God at all. Talk about they, them. I agree. I think parent is fine. We all understand it's a metaphor. I think for me, I suppose, just growing in understanding of nature and the cosmos and science and stuff, it seems a bit silly to refer to God as a he or a she in some ways. Now, that's just where I'm at the moment. That may change as I get older again. And I know the reason people like mother or father to refer to the divine is because it hints far more intimacy and relationship. And I get that. I just find that personally, I don't especially need that. You know, this God is intimate. This God is inside me now, filling the room, filling me. So I don't need metaphors that necessarily describe intimacy, because it's the most intimate part of who I am.
I do think it's an interesting point. Obviously, I'm always open to criticism. Hang on, I'm just going to take one of my tablets.
I was going to say, take a tablet.
You know, just take my anti-old Git tablet. I'm always open to it. I think it shows actually also the difficulty of creeds,
yes,
corporate creeds.
Exactly. Yeah, it does.
Because whatever you shape, people have a different view on. And and so really, the simpler the better in many respects. But thank you for writing in. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, Susanna. And also,
the medication is really kicking in now. I'm really mellowing out.
Kathy wrote in regarding, we were talking last week about becoming elders, I suppose. And Kathy wrote, please can you tell Nick, knowing that you wouldn't read any emails, I loved this thought about us perhaps being elders at the gate as we arrive at, in your case, or travel through, in my case, our seventh decade plus. And she says, some thoughts. She said, I love this idea. Gatekeepers of the church have so often been kind of herd mentality police, making sure nothing, or rather no one, could be a bad influence, passes through. Been looking at Acts chapter 9, 10, 11 this week, where God beautifully and miraculously orchestrates such a huge shift in thinking in the brand new church. And alongside that, the opening of Psalm 24, fling wide the gates, open up the ancient doors and let the King of Glory come in. How great if we can be the sort of gatekeepers with that kind of heart. The godly kind, perhaps. Up here we live, we keep meeting people who need gathering in and teaching more about the wideness of God's love and mercy and kindness of his justice. And then she quoted him with a verse that is often missed out. And I thought I'd read this because it's good. And this verse from the hymn goes, but we make God's love too narrow by false limits of our own, and we magnify its strictness with a zeal God will not own. For the love of God is broader than the measure of our mind, and the heart of the eternal is most wonderfully kind. That's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah.
And she also says lots more, including, I also love this because women are gatekeepers too. Yay. And that's from Kathy.
Well, thank you, Kathy. And yeah, these sort of words, gatekeeper, has that kind of negative connotation.
Yeah.
And you can go in different ways. You know, I think if you don't do the work on yourself, if you don't actually reflect on yourself and who you are and how you are called to change and how you're called to walk with Jesus going forward, then you'll become the kind of gatekeeper who just shuts the door all the time. You know, it is hard work. I can understand why a lot of people don't mature in that sense.
Yes.
Because reflecting on yourself is difficult.
Yeah.
And often they're not helped to do it. There's nobody around to do it. And so they become maybe angry or defensive or as it says on my anti-old git medication box, you know, they use the word, you don't know you're born, or back in my day, all this kind of stuff.
Exactly.
You know, But you've got to take the medication. You've got to do the work, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And here's the thing about flinging wide gates. I mean, gates are essentially methods of control, aren't they? You're either keeping something out or keeping something in. I mean, back to Joe's a lovely bloke, but so messed up. I mean, that's a sort of gatekeeper speaking. You know, his errant theology about homosexual relationships could infect us all. So we're going to put a gated place that we're going to keep firmly locked on that issue.
Mm.
And I think the image of flinging wide the gates is when you realise, oh, God's love is actually for everyone. So I kind of like that metaphor.
I also think it shows the importance of other people as well, because the only way that we can become these kind of generous, welcoming figures...
Mm.
And also protecting to a certain extent. Gates are about protection. You know, you close them at night to protect the city. So it's a protective role as well. But the only way we can become this more whole people is through other people, actually.
Mm.
Through engaging with other people, through listening to them, through learning from one another.
Yeah.
Through being challenged, you know, through iron sharpening iron, as it were. And still being open to that as we get older, I think.
Yeah,
I think it's really important. So it's not just about becoming an elder. It's maybe about joining other elders as well.
Yeah.
And sort of sharing together.
Yeah, a kind of eldership team, you mean?
Yes, and then you can sit in judgment on people and possibly even sack them. I don't know how it works. Never having been on the eldership.
Lovely guy, but so messed up. Anyway, thank you, Cathy. And on the subject of ageing, Roz wrote in and says, theology and people-pleasing are two things I recommend giving up as you progress through your 60s. Think about how you want to spend your time when it's not full of work commitments and start to work out what it really is that gives you meaning and sparks joy. Soon after I turned 60, I realised I did not want to spend my retirement and old age in my then church. There was far too much cognitive dissonance. I won't get into details, but I couldn't see myself happy there anymore. So I left. No, it's not been easy, but I have no regrets. I'm still muddling along MFC style, and I'm okay with that. Another benefit of ageing is not needing to have all the answers. Thanks, guys, from Roz. Thank you, Roz.
Yeah, thank you, Roz. She's lovely, but so messed up.
So messed up. Roz is messed up. So really? Many of our listeners are messed up. Roz, you're not messed up, you're fabulous.
I think what struck me about that was the way in which certain tasks become seen in a sort of negative vein and why that happens.
Yeah.
So if you take theology...
Yes, the opening words were, give up theology.
No one ever gives up theology.
No, Godology.
In the broadest sense, because it's words about God.
Mm.
So as long as you keep talking about God in any way, shape or form, you're doing theology. And I think what people mean by that is theological concerns, certain theological concerns.
Yeah.
Or certain types of theology. And maybe it comes back to gatekeeping.
Yeah.
You know, to the types of theology that are seeking to...
weaponize the gospel.
Seeking to shut out other thoughts or something. Or the kind of theology that you know, you can spend years on and you realise it's an absolute dead end.
Mm.
I mean, thinking particularly of systematic theology.
Yes.
which never works, ultimately.
Agreed.
So I was very interested that theology itself becomes such a sort of loaded term.
Yeah.
And I think it's a real challenge for people who do theology in the more specific sense.
Yeah.
It needs redeeming to a certain degree. It needs to come out of the ivory tower and to really work amongst people. I know a lot of theologians do this, and in essence, every preacher does it or should do it. Some people do it more than others. For example, I've come across something this week. I've been reading a book on the theology of suffering, just to cheer myself up, obviously.
Yeah.
Hang on, I was just reaching for my tablets. But it talks about participation theology. Have you ever heard of this?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Participation theology. That's good.
So I'll say more about it in future episodes, but it's a really interesting idea. And the idea is that Paul certainly talks a lot about justification, but he talks as much about participating in the life of Christ, participating in the walk of Christ, participating in the suffering of Christ, actually. Yeah. And the idea that we are called, in fact, not to just be sort of justified and sit around, but to participate in the life of God.
That's good. I like that. That is a very interesting thought. Yeah.
So, you know, I think I would say to you, Roz, you know, don't give up necessarily on talking about God.
No.
Don't do that. You can call it what you want. You don't have to call it theology. Just call it what you want. Yeah. Because I think you've obviously got things to say.
Yeah.
And people need to hear them.
And a bit of wisdom.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Absolutely right. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. Excellent stuff. Thank you. Okay. So what I wanted to do, just to round things off, because we've rambled a while, but let's just do a quick themes update.
Okay.
I thought that'd be nice. So your theme this year was...
Less is more.
Yep. And my theme was fear not.
Mm.
I've started doing something which I've stumbled upon. I don't know why. I don't know if it's a result of reading stuff or what, but I've stumbled on something that has been a huge help. Remember a few weeks ago, I was talking about that voice that comes to my head often just 10 minutes before I'm about to do a funeral.
Yeah.
And it goes something along the lines of, you shouldn't be doing this, you're not good enough to do it, or whatever. You know, it's a harsh, critical kind of thing that, you know, I have not transformed out of. It's still there after all these years. But I've found a way of stopping it in its tracks. All I have to do is to remember this, and it seems it loses all its power. And the thing that I've been saying is, I'm just here to be a channel of God's love to these people, or to be a conduit of the divine love, or, you know, whatever words I use. And what I've been doing is whenever that voice has come into my head, I've used it as a trigger to remember that little incantation. Is that the right word? Is it an incantation?
Well, you're not really chanting it as a spell, are
no,
you?
No, I suppose I'm not so. Really. Okay, well, the phrase that pays.
Your own catchphrase.
Yeah, exactly, my own catchphrase. Yeah. And the thing is, what's good about that is it doesn't matter in some ways if I fail, because that's what I'm trying to do. I might not do it perfectly. I'm sure I don't do it perfectly, in fact. But that doesn't matter. But what I've noticed is it's flipped me out. So I first used it, I think you remember saying a few weeks ago, I did a huge service for this 16-year-old lad. And, you know, sure enough, just beforehand, I was thinking, oh, I can't do this. I'm just here to be a channel of God's love to all these people. And it just dissipates that. So I feel like there's some progress going on my theme. So I thought I'd share that.
I think that's great. Mm. I think these meditative phrases or these refocusing or just reminders, you know, I think they're very, very important. But can I share what happened to you at the bird watching?
Go on.
Thing? Because you know, this is exactly, we were talking about, you know, your voice, your critical voice, the one that says you're no good at this, you shouldn't be doing this, you're hopeless. So we're walking along on the last day and Joe gets a phone call and somebody's been trying to phone him.
Oh, yeah.
For 2 days, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know you won't say this, but I will say. Yeah. So somebody's been trying to phone you, missed calls, you know, and you say to us, oh, look, I've got to take this lad, so you go on. So we go on, and it turned out it was the father, I think, wasn't
it?
Ringing you to thank you for leading that funeral and saying what a great job you'd done.
Yeah.
And you see, that, I think, is God. That, I think, is like a reassurance that you need.
Yeah. No,
the phrases are great. The phrases are really good. But also listen to other people.
Yeah.
You know, other people have wisdom.
You're embarrassing me now. So, you know, go back to being a git, please.
About time. I mean, this medication is really kicked
what's
in, hasn't it?
What's happened to you? I don't like it. Thank you. No, yeah, it was good.
So I think these focusing phrases, you know, be they a prayer, you know, like the Jesus prayer, or be they this thing about I'm just here to be a conduit of God's love.
Yeah.
I think they're great. Really, really important. They're a little ritual that you need that will remind you of who you are and what you're called
they're
to
great.
Be. Yeah.
And that little morning prayer, what are we doing together today? You know, you just say that to the divine each morning. I mean, it's, you know, I don't always remember, and I'm cross that I don't always remember, because it so sets up the day, frames the day in the right way, reminds me I'm not on my own, you know. and that's good. Connected to that, if I may move us on, so that was a themes update. Just some matters arising from last week where we were talking about being an adult of God. Do you remember? Yeah. We were just saying, and that's when I think that's prompted the whole conversation about elders and things. I was thinking that part of being an adult of God isn't that the mid-faith crisis all over. In fact, Rachel was saying this as well. So, you know, credit where credit's due. Generally, part of having the confidence to go through the mid-faith crisis is you growing up. It's you recognising that the stuff you learnt as a child is not quite adequate to navigate your life as an adult. We often say about the mid-faith crisis, it follows that child development model. You know, my little grandson, the first instruction he's going to get when he gets outside is don't go in the road and don't walk in front of trucks. But of course, that's not going to serve him very well as an adult. He's going to have to learn about the velocity of lorries and things when he crosses roads. It's quite an important skill. And I think so often we want this sort of Sunday school faith, which is not good, but was really helpful at the time. It gave us safety and boundaries and an environment to perhaps to thrive, but it is now not an environment for thriving in. So, yeah, I think part of, for me, being an adult of God, and it goes back to what we were saying about gates and stuff, is that you sort of move beyond the need to have correct theology to just being loving and inclusive as Jesus was. I think that's what's so inspiring about the Oasis celebration I went to on Saturday is, again, you just see what a wonderfully open, creative... You know, this is a thing. They said there was going to be singing, and my heart groaned a little bit because I thought, oh, I haven't been in a church singing choruses. Is it going to be all those modern choruses that I don't know? But, of course, there were loads of Muslims there, Muslim teachers, Muslim head teachers of Oasis schools and things. I hadn't even thought about it, of course. So we sang Lean On Me. And a couple of other really good, really good songs, because of course you wouldn't sing worship songs to Jesus, you know.
Interesting.
In that context, and I thought, oh, good on you. They surprised me in a beautiful and wonderful way. And the girl who used to lead the worship at Oasis when I was there, and, you know, I was expecting her to do things I last heard her doing.
Mm.
But no, they were very sensitive and inclusive, and it was so beautiful. Actually, it was so beautiful, because there you are singing alongside people in, you know, hijabs and all the rest of it, singing joyfully together about the wonder of love and the inclusion of love and how important love is. It was just brilliant.
Yeah,
I think that's being an adult of God. I really do.
Yeah, I've actually used that phrase this week in conversations with people as well, because I think it's, as we said last week, it's not either or.
No.
And maybe this spins back to the whole father thing that, you know, was talked about in my creed. I don't want to give up being a child of God at all, just as I would hope my daughters don't want to, to disavow me.
I have spoken with them, actually, about that. Try not to disavow your father.
Well, you know, I mean, I think the medication will help, won't it? But so you don't have to give up that. You don't have to give up childlikeness, even in adulthood. Maybe it's about giving up that childishness, that kind of expectation that everything is going to be done for you.
Yes, and chronic dependency as that's well. It. You know, yes. I mean,
yeah,
I,
that's what you were saying. Yeah,
I am Molly and Bruce's child. They're both dead, but, you know, the fact is that's my identity. I am the son of Molly and Bruce, and that brings me great comfort. There's something about my identity in that. But they never wanted me to remain a three-year-old. They wanted me to grow up and have my own family and learn a bit of wisdom and do well for myself. So, you know, as I'm sure the divine wants us to grow up.
I mean, the child image in the New Testament, there's so much in it. But a lot of it is yes, you'll bear a resemblance to your parents.
Yes.
You'll be like them.
Yeah.
You'll show, you'll chip off the old block in that sense. And that never... should change, but it doesn't mean you don't grow up along the way. They talk about maturing as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Good. Great. Well, listen, we've gone on a long time, and I've got a prayer to finish with, but is there anything else you wish to say on this, your birthday?
No, I've had too many of them. you know, I just, this, here comes another one, there it goes. I'm not like you. I don't have to have a whole year's celebration of my birthday. But it was lovely to be with you last week.
It was
I really
lovely.
Enjoyed that, yeah. So, yes, we should finish up. Thank you ever so much for listening, yeah. Everybody. We really appreciate it. I've had a couple of messages this week from people who have said to me they've got friends who listen to it, who yeah. they've recommended and find it really helpful. And that's so encouraging,
yeah, it is.
You know, because heaven knows I don't find it helpful. But, you know, so thank you so much for listening.
Yeah.
Thank you to everyone who supports the podcast financially. That's an amazing thing you're doing.
Can I just say on that, we said to people originally, you know, if you enjoyed the podcast, buy us a cup of coffee. But I actually realised how expensive coffee is when you buy it out now. So think of it more as, you know, you don't have to buy us a cup of coffee. You could get us a quarter of a cup of coffee.
Yeah, okay.
That might be more realistic for some people, but thanks to everyone who does that anyway.
An espresso or something like that.
No, they'd be expensive. Honestly, coffee's so expensive. Do you ever buy coffees out? Because you're a connoisseur. I bet you don't.
Not really.
No.
A beer is my go-to. Yeah. So buy us a pint of beer. That's better. That's cheaper. Well,
half a pint of beer. Oh, no, we've gone down a rabbit. No, it's just got silly now. Let's.
Whatever you give, you get time off in purgatory. So it's all good.
Yes, and that's a guarantee.
That is guaranteed. I'll have the new Pope look into it. Liz, look, thank you so much for supporting us. Thank you for anyone who reviews the podcast, recommends it. That's fantastic. We really appreciate it. And we'll be back with you next week. And now, Pastor Joe.
Yes.
Lovely guy, but so messed up.
So messed up.
We'll end in prayer.
Yes. And this is from Dave Tomlinson's excellent book, OMG, A Bad Christian's Book of Prayers. This is called Love is the Religion. God beyond God. In you, there is no Judaism, Christianity or Islam. Just different paths to know love. In you, there is neither Israeli nor Palestinian, neither Russian, Ukrainian, or citizen of the UK. Only humans born in beautiful varieties of lineage, language, culture, and skin colour. In you we find our place, in the multitudinous family of creation, blood relatives of all, aliens to none. May the religion of friendship, the practice of love, prosper in our hearts and throughout the world, at this time and always. Amen.